Well, good evening.
Good evening.
That last stanza kind of fits what we're going to talk about tonight, when our feeble life is o'er. So, what's that? I don't know. I don't know how. Maybe I made you expect too much tonight, but I do hope to lighten it up a little bit tonight. There was a kind of a last minute change in my own mind on what tonight's topic and our Sunday night subjects was. I had one planned for last week, but then I wasn't here last week, and so I thought, well, could just do that. But then at the end of the week last week, about Friday, I started thinking about something else, and I thought I'm just going to switch it up and just talk about the topic of old age, because, you know, last week I had a birthday, and so it made me think a little bit about, you know, about getting older, and I'm also about to be a grandpa, which makes me think a little bit about getting older. And so tonight we're going to think a little bit about some lessons for old and young alike. And what we're going to do, you can turn to Ecclesiastes 12. The original plan was to go look at Song of Solomon, but we're going to go Ecclesiastes 12, the chapter before Song of Solomon. And in that chapter, there is a very poetic description of getting old. The first about 6 or 7 verses of Ecclesiastes 12 gives this poetic description of old age. And again, as I was, you know, preparing and thinking this last week for Sunday services today, and I said, man, Sunday morning is going to be really heavy. And so I was hoping to maybe lighten it up a little bit tonight with a little bit of a levity. And you think, well, how is old age lightening it up a little bit? I mean, come on, you know, but you know, when you think of old age, if you don't laugh about it, you're going to have to cry about it. And so you might as well laugh about it a little bit. And so I do hope that maybe we can enjoy poking fun at ourselves a little bit. But in saying that, I have already been warned. I think it was Bill this morning. He said, there are going to be a lot of old people there tonight, so you better be careful. You know, I will try to watch it. I don't know if I'll succeed in that or not. But anyway, that's going to be our subject matter tonight in Ecclesiastes 12. And we'll start off with a word of prayer and then think a little bit about this subject. Our Father, we thank you for a life for this day, for a rest in your Son, for a day of rest, and also a day of worship and praise and giving attention to all the variety of things that your Word instructs us on. Instruct us tonight. Enliven us for our existence here now, and encourage us for the life that is to come. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, in Ecclesiastes 12, the book of this, it's the end of this little book, and it's kind of a wrap-up. This chapter is a wrap-up on Solomon's sermon on just the vanity of life. The whole theme of the book of Ecclesiastes is just vanity, vanity, all things are vanity, you know, as he just kind of goes through all of the vagaries of life. And it begins this chapter begins here with an admonition for the young to consider the old as an incitement for faith. Now, he starts off in verse number 1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Essentially, he's given this sermon for 11 chapters, and then he's wrapping it up, and he's saying, now, young people, listen to me here. You need to have faith right now when you are young, because you are going to need it when you get where you're going. The path of life is going to inevitably lead to a place that it's going to be much better for you if you have an established faith already there when you get to this undesirable part of life. Because faith makes old age more bearable, and faith is more durable when it begins young. Old age is more bearable with an old faith, a faith that has matured through the years and grown. And so he's, you know, got through his whole sermon, and he's saying, remember, kids, listen, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, the evil days, I think, as the King James says, the day of evil comes, and you say, it's just not as pleasurable as it used to be. And so he encourages them in verse 1, begin a life of faith when you're young. Start when you're young with faith. The proverb says, seek me early, and you will find me. And so this is the same thing we read here in Ecclesiastes 1. One just tidbit here. I've got to research this, but I read in one place where he says, remember your Creator, that the word there for Creator is actually plural. Actually, as though he's saying, remember your creators, much like in the creation account where God said, let us make man in our image, that here this title for God is plural, maybe an allusion to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That if you start young, thinking about the big issues of life, of God Himself and the Trinity, and you train your mind to think on these huge subjects, it's really going to help you when you get to your older parts of life and you've already been thinking about these eternal things. And so he's encouraging the young not to get lost in the vanities of life, but to think about the big eternal things of life. But he said, before the difficult days come. Old age, and this is a kind of a euphemism here for old age, but old age is inevitable. It is a difficult and, you could say, an evil time of life. And it is inevitable if you make it. You know, not everybody makes it, but if you make it to old age, it can be a hard time of life. One of my favorite movies is The Grinch. You ever say The Grinch? Right, okay. The Grinch, and he comes into to Whoville and is going to receive his award, and he gets introduced to the ladies that raised him, and he's shocked. Are you two still living? You know, I mean, he's just taken aback. I can't believe y'all are still around. You mean you've made it this long? And because old age is a difficult thing. It is an evil time of life, as the King James might put it. We know Ruth, Ruth Griffin, and I, the times I went to visit her in her, anyway, the first thing she said to me on one occasion was, you tell people that getting old is not for wimps. You just let them know getting old is not for wimps. She said, what is going on with my body here? You know, and it's just, it is very, very, very frustrating. My daughter recently, we were talking about something, my pregnant daughter, and some difficulties in life, and she started singing, celebrate hard times, come on, you know. And I was like, no, cool in the gang, that's not the way he sang it there. But, you know, that parody kind of fits, that, you know, hard times do come, and it does make it maybe a little easier if we can celebrate them. There, so somebody look up 2 Samuel 19, and this is kind of a short and a similar passage to the one we're going to look at in Ecclesiastes. And this is Barzillai, this friend of David, and his description of his life. Somebody read 2 Samuel 19, verses 34 and 35.
But Barzillai answered the king, how many more years will I live that I should go up to Jerusalem with the king? I am now 80 years old. Can I tell the difference between what is enjoyable and what is not? Can your servant taste what he eats and drinks? Can I still hear the voices of male and female singers? Why should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king?
I mean, here, you know, David's wanting to bring his friend who's helped him out, Barzillai, you know, home with him to Jerusalem after he'd been run out by his son. And the Barzillai says, listen, I'm old. The pleasures in life are not the same pleasures as they used to be. I can't taste food like I used to taste it. I can't hear things the way I used. It's just, you know, things are winding down here. And so let's, you know, the pleasures of life are just not what they used to be. The evil days had come where he says, I no longer find pleasure in them, as we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Very, very poetic. So let's look at it here. This description of old age in Ecclesiastes 12, kind of what Barzillai alluded to. And some of these things are kind of maybe difficult to ferret out in the poetry of the day, but we'll see what we can do. He describes it, look in verse 2, before, and this is again describing the evil days, the difficult days. He says, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return after the rain. Now here's his first description of the difficult days of getting old in life. And really I kind of question, you know, what does this mean? Is this talking about his eyesight? His kind of life just kind of dims out a little bit. And I thought, well, it's probably not it, because he mentions eyesight a little bit later. And so I was thinking, you know, maybe this is just talking about pessimism. You know, there's something about getting old that sometimes pessimism sinks in. There is a gloom of life that just kind of covers over the later years of life. The light of life, the sun, the moon, and the stars, it all kind of just dims out just a little bit, and it's just cloud after cloud after cloud just returning over and over and over again. Did anybody ever see the movie Grumpy Old Men? I don't know, remember if I ever saw it or not, but just that's just an apt description of guys when they get old. They're just grumpy old men. Old age can make you grumpy. What about the Odd Couple? You know, Felix and Oscar. You know, just two old guys going at it. You know, and that's just a common with life, where life just dims out a little bit. In fact, you know, we're fixing to have a grandchild, and me and then my daughter's father-in-law, we're fighting over who gets to be called grandpa. You know, which one of us, because it's an apt description of both of us. We're both going to be grumpy old men. In fact, my kids got me a Disney shirt with the character Grumpy on it from The Seven Dwarfs, you know, because it just fits me, but it fit me in my 30s. Who knows what I'm going to be once I get to my 70s. But it's just the line of life just kind of dims a little bit. It's just kind of a description. You have grumpy old men and you have cranky old women, and it just goes with old age. I mean, isn't that right? I mean, it's just, you know, the light of life just kind of, it just kind of goes with the territory, that the lights of life just kind of dim. And he said, and there's a reason for this. There's a reason that old people are typically grumpy, because he says the clouds return after the rain. You know, it's kind of almost like there's a deluge of rain, and then you think, okay, the sunshine's going to come out, and then here comes another storm, and there's more rain, and there's more clouds, and it's an unceasing, relentless time of life when problem after problem after problem just comes and comes and comes, and it has a way of making people a little bit grumpy. And so I think maybe that's what he's describing here, is just some grumpy old man in this first description of old age. Look at verse number 3. And the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men stoop. Now here is a description of getting old, and it says the keepers of the house are trembling. You know, what are the pillars of a person's life? You got their head, you got your hands, and you got your feet. Just the pillars of life, and all the pillars of life begin to shake. I mean, you ever see old people, you know, they're shaking. The heads are shaking. The hands are shaking. The legs are shaking. You know, I have a friend and I'd go over to his house to eat. And he was so frustrated because he could not pour me a glass of tea when we would eat lunch. You know, he was just shaking. He couldn't drink his own cup. And it's just a frustrating part of life when the pillars are a shaking, but yet it is an apt description of older age. I remember seeing my grandfather. He would sit down, and he would try to get up, and he couldn't get up. And so he would just sit there and bang on his legs, you know, just so he could stand up, because the pillars were shaking. And it says, and the strong man bow down. Used to be strong in life, and now they're humped over and hunched over, and they are bowed down. There was an illustration of this when I was taking my kids to school last week, and we were going up the road, and there was a Sprouts grocery store, and there was an older gentleman had just come out of Sprouts, and he had his little bag of goodies that he had just bought at Sprouts at the crosswalk and hit the button. You know, you got 15 seconds to cross the street. So he starts tottering across the street. And he could not make it across the street before the timer ran out. And then traffic wanted to come, and so he started going out in the middle. You know, and he's just a shaking, tottering, bent over guy, going to the store, getting his groceries. But now the strong men are bowed down. You know, and I tell my kids, I said, what a description of life. We got to prepare for this. You know, look at how sin has ravaged the body. Used to be a strong guy, and now can't even get across the street in the allotted time. I think, if you ever see the movie Up? Now, we watched a lot of kids' movies. Up, you know, great. Mr. Fredrickson in Up, you know, and his little thing with with the tennis balls underneath. And if you've seen the movie, I mean, here's the picture of this difficult time of life, just shuffling along with the walker, the tennis balls underneath. The old men, the strong men, are now bowed down. I saw a headline about Pele. Y'all remember Pele from years ago? Superstar, you know, in soccer. I think maybe he was the one that started doing you could kick the goals upside down. You know, he would just go and boom. I mean, just an amazing athlete. Unbelievable world class athlete. And now he won't even hardly come out of his house because he's embarrassed because he can't hardly walk. The strong men become bowed down. The pillars of life start shaking in the evil days. And so you need to have a faith when you're young, because these days are going to inevitably come. Now notice the middle of verse number 3, where he says, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. And then he says, and when the grinders cease because they are few. Anybody got any idea what this is talking about?
Teeth.
When the grinders, when the grinders cease because they are few. You just lose your teeth. Anybody see the movie The Hobbit? The Hobbit. Well, in that movie, the Hobbit and the kind of the Lord of the Rings thing, there's this encounter between Bilbo and Gollum. And Gollum is that creepy looking guy that, my precious, you know, I don't know. Anyway, and so these two guys get in this, a challenge of riddles. And Bilbo gives Gollum a riddle that says like this: 30 white horses on a red hill. First they tramp, then they stamp, and then they stand still. And so, you know, the challenge was, okay, Gollum, you know, what is this? These 30 white horses on a red hill. And then finally he goes, oh yeah, it's teeth. You know, the 30 white horses on the gum, you know, it's teeth. And then he turns to the camera and he goes, we have 9. You know, and, you know, this creepy guy. And he didn't have 30 anymore. All he had was 9, you know, because the grinders cease because they are few. And you know, old Gollum in the movie The Hobbit, he had 9 more than George Washington. one of our founding fathers, that I looked at it, and by age 30, he was losing almost all of his teeth. He eventually lost all of them. He had 4 sets of dentures of the day, which don't near come to what we enjoy today and the dental practices that we're so blessed with. But his dentures were made of ivory, of brass, of gold, of human teeth, and of animal teeth. 4 different sets. Imagine that, because the grinders were few. We could say George Washington had a grill. Y'all know what a grill is? Mm-hmm. That's why on the $1 bill, he's not smiling, because there's nothing good going on behind the lips there. He is not smiling. And if he did, he got some bling going on his grill. Y'all know who Lil Wayne is?
Yes.
Okay, there's a few. Lil Wayne, his portfolio is in his mouth. Diamonds and gold, all sorts of things. Well, that was George Washington, because the grinders cease when they are few, and he didn't even have as many as old Gollum did. But that's just a poetic description of losing your teeth when the grinders cease because they're few. The last part of that, and then looking through the window grows dim. Here's another description of eyesight fading. Just happens. Glasses are just become a part of the deal because eyes just don't work as they used to. Did anybody see the movie The Pink Panther? I like the Pink Panther, and part of this movie, the Inspector Clouseau and his the secretary girl, Nicole, and he's, I think it's one evening, and he looks at her. He says, "Oh, Nicole, you are so pretty without your glasses." And so he takes the glasses off and puts them away, and she feels so good. And then she totters along and runs right into a tree because she can't see anything, because you look through the windows and everything is just dim. The eyesight just doesn't work quite so well. I like the movie The Sandlot. One of the little characters squints, he can't see, and he wasn't old, he was young, but just the eyesight does not quite work as they used to. Glasses are a frustrating but a necessary part of life. I'm always fiddling with them and fussing with them, the glasses part. Well, here it is, that you look through the windows and it's just dim. You make a whole living out of that, right? Yeah, so it's a good thing. I think of the account in the Bible, there's a few people with bad eyesight. Eli, he lost his eyesight towards the end. And Isaac, one of the fathers of the faith, and he was about ready to bless his boys, and he wanted to give them a blessing before he departed. And he was going to bless Esau, but Jacob, the deceiver, comes in and kind of puts on his older brother by a few minutes, his bigger brother's clothes, and kind of disguises himself a little bit to trick his dad, because his dad couldn't even tell his boys apart because his eyes were so dim. Looking through the windows, but it grows dim. Verse number 4, another description here. When the doors to the street are closed, I don't really know exactly what to make of this, except that there's a term that we still use today as a shut-in. A shut-in is generally an older person who doesn't get out anymore. The doors of the street are closed. Old age can make someone become a shut-in. Or it could be that because of the lack of teeth, the door just stays closed because they don't want to smile, they don't want to talk to anybody, so the doors just... But anyway, whatever this is, the doors to the street are closed. They're shut in, or they eventually keep their mouths shut. The doors are closed in verse 4, and the sound of grinding fades when people rise up at the sound of birds, and all their songs grow faint. What is this talking about? Hearing. Yeah, a poetic saying, saying that the hearing just goes. Anybody here got hearing problems? It just kind of comes with the territory where we just can't hear as we used to. I go to my parents' house, and they fight, old couple fight, and I figured out they don't fight because they don't like each other anymore. That's not the reason. They fight because they can't hear each other anymore. That's just what? They're just yelling and because you can't hear. And that's what the sound of grinding just dims out in life. I tell you, my family is in trouble because of my ears. I have a hard time understanding words, and I have to fill in the blanks and stuff. And I wore earplugs my whole life, being around loud stuff. But you just misunderstand things because the sound of the grind it just diminishes and it becomes a low. You just can't understand speech as you used to. Anybody see the movie Despicable Me? Any Despicable Me? Well, I'm at one. Okay, well, there's a scene in that where the group. Yeah, well, we've been raising kids for 27 years, so our movie genre kind of tilts towards the kids shows, but anyway, in this funny little scene, the lead character had asked his right hand man, who's this laboratory scientist, to make him a dart gun, make me a dart gun, and he could make anything. And so, but instead of making a dart gun, he made another kind of gun that kind of rhymes with dart gun, with kid bathroom humor, and it's kind of a funny little deal. But then he says, "Why are you so old? You can't even hear right. I asked for a dart gun, and you make something else." But that's just the sound of grinding. It all just fades. I shouldn't have gone there, right?
You are now alive.
Huh? What? Yeah. Well, yeah, I really thought, if I could work on this, I could show all these little clips and stuff, and it'd be funny, but I'm not the technical savvy enough. But anyway, he complains about that. And then he goes on and he says, the middle of verse 4, "And when people rise at the sound of birds." Isn't that, Bob's having a hard time with it now. but they rise at the sound of birds. You can't hear when you get old, but for some reason, the smallest things wake you up at night. I mean, what is that? The sound of a bird gets them up in the middle of the night. Sleep becomes disturbed by the smallest things. Wake up for no reason at all. What is this? That's what he said, that the sound of the bird wakes me up. And he says, and the songs grow faint. Music that's loud and enjoyable now becomes so dim and low. Again, like walking into my parents' place, man, the TV is just blaring, What? Because the sound of music is so low, so you got to crank it up so you can just barely hear it. Well, that's exactly what someone got an amen out of that one. I don't know. Did any of y'all fight over the remote control and the volume of the music? Because, that's just a description of life. Do you do that? Have you got there yet, June? No. June is just shaking his head like, what in the world? For verse number 5, this description goes on. And again, he's reminding young people. He says, remember your Creator before these days come, because these days are inevitable. Build your faith now, because you're going to need your faith then. And he says, when people are afraid of heights and dangers in the streets. Afraid of heights and dangers. Did somebody say so? Oh, I thought someone was chiming in there. Just becoming kind of more of a fraidy cat than they used to be in life, Afraid of heights, riding in the car. You get any backseat drivers, just to, just settle down. I know what I'm doing. I've been driving for a while, you know. But anyway, it's just kind of just afraid of heights, afraid of what might be going on in the streets. And he says, and the almond tree blossoms. What do y'all think this is talking about?
Springtime.
Huh?
Springtime.
Springtime. Huh?
Gray hair.
Gray hair, yeah. You ever seen an almond tree? I had to look it up. When an almond tree blossoms, it turns white or pale pink. And so here, that's just the flower on the almond tree. And so here he's talking about old age, you know, men, they get their white hair. And ladies, sometimes you get pink hair. I don't know why it goes pink, but you know, it's white hair or it's pink hair. And the almond tree just blossoms as a sign of the old age. Am I in trouble for that one too? On the pink haired little old ladies, the almond tree blossoms.
You're stepping on toes.
Well, Bill warned me, so I don't know. And he says that after the hare or the almond tree, and the grasshopper drags itself along, strength begins to fail. Just not quite as strong as you used to be. You used to be able to do things. I mean, I'm already at the stage now. It's so frustrating. I can't open the jars. Get my boys, you know, what do you mean I can't open the jars? And I got to get my 14-year-old boy, open the jar. Because eventually, the grasshopper just drags itself along and strength is no longer what it was. And then he ends up here, and I don't know whether to go here or not, but the scripture does, so we will. He says, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire is no longer stirred. You know, I listen to talk radio. I listen to a lot of talk radio, sports radio. And you cannot listen to any of these radio stations that their demographic is men, where you don't get inundated with ED commercials. It's just everywhere. I'm like, come on, I mean, come on, get, you know, give me a break. But it is everywhere. Y'all ever see the movie Lion King?
Yeah.
Now, there's a scene in Lion King where the Whoopi Goldberg's character, the hyena, and she has her little right-hand man. She goes, Ed? You know, and he gets some weird, and that's for some reason, I always think of that, of Ed, when you read this or you hear these commercials. But I'll just have to say, there is nothing new under the sun. This was 3,000 years ago, and he's talking about desire failing. The Bible addresses all of the issues of life and life as it is. And then after that one, what comes? And he says, and people go to their eternal home, and mourners go about the streets. You go through all of that, boom, you're dead. It's over. You die. And he gives this description of death. He says, remember him in verse 6, before the silver cord is severed, or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel is broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So you go through all these difficult times in life, and you get right down to the end, and the silver cord is severed, that mystical bond between body and spirit, where the body and spirit is separated. The golden bowl is broken. I don't know, maybe this is just a description of this golden bowl that holds life, and now it's broken, and all of life just kind of drains away as out of a bowl. The pitcher is shattered, this pitcher at the spring that keeps pumping new life into our bodies. This pitcher is broken, maybe almost like the heart being broken, because can no longer carry the new life through the body, because the life of the creature is in the blood. The wheel is broken. All the mechanisms that go on in our body, the wheels that go, the bodies and the organs shut down. There's no more mechanical movements of the body, because the wheel at the spring is broken, and then the body goes to the ground and the spirit to God. Here's his description. Remember telling the young, hey, you need to have faith now because difficult days are going to come. And here's the description of them. You know, and he gives a very poetic description of what it's like to get old. And then what's inevitable for all of us, that we will soon die. But let me end on a positive note here, in thinking about death. But old age reminds us of the curse of death. You know, we were not made to die. When God built us and made us in the beginning, we were not made to die. Death is such a foreign thing to us, and that's why we revolt against it. We're not made to get old and die, but we do because of the curse of sin. That the day that you eat of the fruit, you will surely die. And the soul that sins, it will die. And all the sin and misery that comes along with that is just the result of the curse of sin. I mean, sin breaks things, and it has broken our bodies. Romans chapter 8 talks of us as believers, and it says that we groan waiting for the redemption of our bodies. I mean, that is so picturesque to me. Groaning. You ever groan just to get out of bed? I mean, that groan, that's just a part of life. And for a Christian, we groan in hope, waiting for the redemption of our bodies. Let me just read Romans 8, verses 23 to 25 here real quick. It says, not only so, but we who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the redemption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is not seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. We groan right now, but we groan in hope. Our deteriorating bodies help remind us of the glory that is to come. That day that there will be no more curse, no more pain, no more crying, and no more dying. I had an experience several years ago when my mom had cancer. And, you know, that you get the news that you have cancer. That's just not good news. I mean, that's just, you're being attacked. You know, your body is being attacked. Well, she had breast cancer and had to have a mastectomy. And so not only was she attacked as a human being and her life am I going to have my life, but almost in a way attacked as a woman. You mean I'm going to have to be disfigured in some way? You know, just as a woman. And that's a hard and a difficult thing to go through. But my mom has had a long life of faith. And coming to that difficult time in life to where your body is being ravaged and, you know, in a way deformed, and you're like, you know, what's going on? She can say, you know, but I am eagerly awaiting the redemption of my body. That's part of our salvation and our hope, waiting for that day that we will be raised from the dead, not in all of our deterioration and the grinder ceasing and all those, you know, the ravages of our body, but waiting for that day that we will be the perfect us. In fact, we'll even be better than Adam and Eve at the beginning. I mean, he's redeemed us, and he is going to fix our bodies. We're going to have a body even like the Lord Jesus Christ's glorious body. And so all of these ravages of life that come upon us when the gloom of life is now, and the stars and the moon, it just kind of fades, and it's just cloud after cloud, and now we have some gloom. But we have faith that one of these days, we're going to have the light of life. Where there won't even need to be a sun anymore, because the Lamb and God Almighty, He will be light to us. That right now, when the keepers shake, and our heads shake, and our hands shake, and our legs shake, by faith we look toward that day, knowing that we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. One of these days there's going to be no more shakes, because everything that can be shaken now will eventually be done away with. That right now we are bent over. And the strength fails, and the grasshopper just drags itself along. But we read in Isaiah, "But do you not know and have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. And he will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not be weary, and they will walk and not be faint." What a great hope to have when the strength fails and you start to bend over a little bit. When the grinders cease and becomes no more teeth, yearning for that day to where we get to be chomping on the tree of life. Imagine that, the full set of 30, whatever would be perfect. Getting to eat of the tree of life and to feast with our Lord and with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the feast of the kingdom. What a great thing. No dentures needed, because he's going to make us over anew. That right now we got to fight with our eyesight and want glasses or surgeries or whatever, the eyes dim, but then on that day we will get to see Jesus as he is. Our eyes will behold him in a way that we have never seen him. We'll truly have eyes on that day. That even now people of faith might be a shut-in. We pray for them on Wednesday night. You can't get out, and you're in the nursing home, and just life is shut in, but yearning by faith for that day to where the doors will be opened and we'll be able to walk the streets of gold.
Amen.
For right now, though, the hearing is diminished and you can't hear, but on that day, to be able to hear the angels sing, to hear the 144,000 sing, to hear the four creatures and the 24 elders and all the saints sing, to be able to hear it, and the music will not be dim. It will be loud, and we'll get to hear it. To where now we might wake up many times in the middle of the night and sleep goes away from us and we can't rest, but then we hear, "Blessed are those who die in the Lord. They will enter their rest." There we'll get to sleep and it'll be sweet and undisturbed rest. That today, now desire may fail, but on that day, every desire will be fulfilled. Nothing lacking. Nothing absent. Now we deal with death. But by faith, we look towards life. And I think that's what he's saying here. Kids, listen, right now, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Right now, when you feel invincible and everything's going right, because eventually the difficult days will come. And you'll say, I have no pleasure in them. Life is not what it used to be. But if you build your faith now, it will prepare you to go through those difficult days with an eye to eternity, when we will be renewed in our flesh to be like the Lord Jesus. Anyway, that was just a few of the things I had on getting old. Hopefully, somebody said I stepped on everybody's toes tonight, but we're going to get new toes then anyway. So, y'all got anything to add?
Could you repeat that?
Huh? Yeah, what? Huh? Well, anyway, I do find a little bit of this funny. The way he describes old age, and and please don't take it that I'm trying to poke fun of people. That's not my intention at all. But I do think it helps us to laugh a little bit at our own dilemmas. Laughter is a good medicine. But anything y'all want to add? We can actually get out a little early tonight. I would have had the movie clips. We could have watched. Could have watched the whole thing, huh?
Get discounts,
huh? What's that?
I said there's some perks to getting old. You get discounts.
You get a discount. You get the senior discount, huh? Anything else on the discount? Well, we'll close in prayer. And I hope you leave tonight encouraged in your faith, you know, to have that eye for eternity and to encourage you in these difficult days. Our Father, Lord, we thank you for your word that does enliven us, that does tell us about our lives as it is. Thank you that you meet us where we are and you instruct us in truth and Lord, you tell us of the life that is to come. Lord, increase our faith tonight and this week. Give us eyes for eternity, and Lord, give us a strength to carry out the duties of today. We thank you. We love you. Give us the confidence that you'll never leave us or forsake us, so that we are your people, redeemed, chosen, loved, and will be forever with you. In Christ's name, amen.